All right. So we are holding on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph by the two dots. Mem Gimel Amud Aleph by the two dots, about 12 lines from the top. Okay, we had learned in the Mishnah that if you find kalim that have various images on them, then you're also to keep them, because we assume that they were made for Avodah Zarah, and one of them was a drakon, a dragon. So, Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Ezeh Tzuras Drakon, what is the definition of the picture of a dragon, as opposed to, let's say, a plain old snake? Kiddushim Shimon Elazar Kol Sheyesh LeKitzin Bein Prokos. Rav Shimon Elazar explained that it means where it has the basic shape of a snake or something like that, but it has tzitzin between its joints. Tzitzin, Rashi says, are two possibilities. One is it means something like fins. The other thing is it means something like hairs. So which joint? Machvi Rav Asi ben Tirte Sabra. It means between the joints. It has tzitzin, either something like fins or something like hairs is what tzitzin means. Okay. So something sticking out, ben krakov, between its joints, and Machvi, Rav Asi ben Pirkei Saver. Specifically, Rav Asi showed, when he was learning this, he demonstrated that he pointed to, it means between the joints of the neck. So in other words, you have along the neck of this, you have a picture of the drakon over there, and along the neck of it, you have these tithin, you have these fin-like things, these fin-like projections, or these hair-like projections. That's what makes it a drakon, a dragon, rather than an ordinary snake. And that's when we're saying the goyim worship it. Well, it's made other than that, it's made like a snake. But the point is that's the kind of thing that we're saying that the goyim would worship, and therefore that it's also if it's painted on a cape. Or again, we had the Mishnah, the Tanakhama had said in the Mishnah, it doesn't matter what type of keli, and Rav Shimon Gamliel had said it depends what type of keli, whether it's an honorable or a dishonorable one, as we'll see later in the Gemara. Okay. Okay. Yes, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar. That is the definition of a drakon. Why we have to mention that if nobody's arguing with him? One idea is, even if we should eventually find some other braisa that argues with that and gives a different definition of where the drakon is, don't pay attention to it. The halacha is like the way like that. So Rabbi Shurban reports that Rabbi Shurban Levi said, one time I was following Rabbi Lazar HaKapper, one of the later Tanoim, Beribi. HaKapper means it could mean the name of it, it could mean the name of the town that he was from, it could mean his profession, it could, whatever, that was his nickname. HaKapper, again, it could be the name of his town, it could be some people want to say maybe he was related to, or maybe he even is the same as Bar Kapara. In which case it might have been that he was from the family, Kapper, whatever it was, anywhere. Rav Elazar Kapper was a Tana. Biribi means the great one. It means the Odom Godol, Rashi says. Baderach, so Rabbi Shurban Levi says, one time I was following him on the road. Umot Hashem Tabas, Rav Elazar Kapper found on the road there a ring. Valeo Tzuras Drakon, there was a picture of a dragon on it. But now you have a problem. If he were to pick it up, then it would be Avodah Zarah in the hands of a Jew, and it would be Osir. So he wants to be Mevatel it before he picks it up. Now, how is he going to be Mevatel it? A Yid can't be Mevatel of Avodah Zarah, as we said before. So he met up with a young guy, a child. The lawyer Omar Leklum and Rav Elazar HaKapper didn't say anything to this child. We have to figure out. Wait, why not? On the face of it, he worships it. But wait. Okay. So he didn't say anything to him. Motza Ob Gechavim Godol, then Rav Elazar HaKapper met up with an adult guy, an adult idol worshiper, V'omalei Batla, he says to the guy, be Mevatel this ring for me, so that I can have Hana from it.
Does that work?
Yeah. V'loi Bitla, and the guy did not want to be Mevatel it. Stotterai, so Rav Elazar HaKapper gave him a slap in the face, Ob Bitla, and then he was Mevatel it. And then Rav Elazar HaKapper was able to take the ring. Therefore, Shmamina Tzlat, so we can learn three dinim from this little story. Number one, Shmamina Ob Kechavim Mevatel, Avedis Kechavim Shaloi V'Shachaveh, right? Number one, we see from that a goy is able to be Mevatel and a Vedazara that belongs to him or that belongs to somebody else. We learned it before in the Gemara, but we learned it in the Gemara, but here we have, but here we don't have it explicitly in the Mishnah, other than that. We have, but actually that particular detail we do actually have later on in a Mishnah. However, Zan points out, what we wouldn't know from that Mishnah, maybe it means Shaloi V'Shachaveh doesn't mean that, doesn't mean we talked yesterday about, does the guy who's being Mevatel that have to actually worship the type of Avodah Zarah, and just this particular one happens to belong to somebody else, or is it good enough, even let's say it's a drakon, but this particular guy does not worship drakon. Is that good enough? But that's the, no, that's the point. No, it's the same thing with any other disorder. The point is, from this story we see that it doesn't, that it doesn't matter whether he himself worships Drakon, because we don't have Rabbi Elazar HaKapper asking him, Mr. Goy, do you worship a Drakon?
Right.
Yes, then be Mavakala.
No,
he didn't ask him, so it doesn't matter. We see from that that it doesn't matter.
Shaloi,
Shal Chaveri, or somebody else's. Shal Chaveri means that another Goy worships it, even though he himself doesn't. That's number one that we can learn from it. Oshmamino Yedea Bativ Shalavedis Kachavim Lom Sham Shem Abasol. Number two, only somebody who knows about the nature of Avodah Zarah and about the worship of it is able to Mimbasol, in other words, an adult. Oshmamino Yedea Bativ Avodah Kachavim Lom Sham Shea. Somebody who does not know that kind of thing, a Mimbasol, cannot Mimbasol. That is why when Rabbi Elazar HaKapper met up with this kid, with his Goyish kid, he didn't ask him to be mevatel it, because the kid doesn't know about Tiv Avodah Zarah or Misham Sheah. He doesn't necessarily mention Avodah Zarah all the time, he doesn't know anything about the details of how it's worshipped, etc., so therefore his bitzel wouldn't count for anything. It has to be an adult who knows these things, who's able to be mevatel.
But how do we know that?
What do you mean, how do we know it? The,
he asked the kid, so we would...
No, he didn't bother asking the kid, he knew that a kid does not know the Tiv Avodah Zarah or Misham Sheah. So therefore we see, because that wouldn't have worked. And by the same logic, again, it means therefore, like we said yesterday, for example, a Muslim or any other goy who's not over Avodah Zarah is not able to miracle. By the same logic, he doesn't know the Tiv Avodah Zarah or Misham Sheah. He doesn't know the rituals, and he doesn't mention the name of it regularly and so forth. That's din number two we can learn from this. Oshmamina, and the third din we can learn. Number three we see from this that a goy can be mevatel against his will, because we see Rabbi Elazar HaKapper slapped him and then he went and did it.
That's very easy.
But it still works. Some of the Mephoshim point out on the face of it, we could have, the Tosfos points out actually, and the Ran points out, and others point
Everybody
out. That's what we're saying. Well, one second. But Tosfos and the Ran and others point out on the face of it, there's a fourth din we could have said we learned from here, that a Yid cannot be Mevatel of a Dezara of a Goy. The answer is, Tosfos discusses, because it's a fairly poshita thing. Later on, when the Mishnah mentions that din, we have to say we're talking about where the Yid owns it in partnership with the Goy, and he still can't be Mevatel. But the idea in and of itself that a Jew cannot be Mevatel of a Dezara, that's a sensible thing. We don't have to learn that from the story. Okay. So fine, so that's the story. However, Magadif for Rav Chanina did like this, say it, like a motion with his hand, like how is it possible? The Lesle Rav Elazar HaKapper Beribi Fadetnan, doesn't Rav Elazar HaKapper Beribi, the great Talmud Chacham, doesn't he agree with what it says in a Mishnah, or it's actually a Braisa? Hamasul min ha'ari, if somebody saves an object from a lion, so a lion grabs something and then you manage to get it away from the lion, umin ha'doy, or from a bear, umin ha'nomer, or from a leopard, umin ha'gayist, or from an armed troop of soldiers or bandits or what have you, umin ha'nahar, or from a river that was found in the current of the river, umin zutei shoyam, or from the high tide of the sea. So the tide comes in and then washes things away out to sea, and you go and manage to grab it from there. Or mishlulise shel nahar, or from the overflow of a river, same idea, where a river gets bigger than it normally is and sweeps things away. V'hamotzi b'tsnatya or platya gdola, or somebody finds something in a big tsnatya or platya. Tsnatya means a road between cities, like an interstate highway or something. A platya is a big plaza. Or any place where you have a large number of people, that already belongs to him, because the owner has use of it. Now, so in all those cases, the owner has use, either because it was something that was by a lion or a bear or what have you, and he didn't think that he was going to ever get it back. Yeah, or he didn't think there was any likelihood he was going to get it back. And the same thing with the sratia and platia, because he figures anybody who passes by is going to pick it up or trample it or whatever. So The point being, therefore, that once the goy was miyayish of it, he's already mevatelit. Why does Rav Elazar HaKapper need to worry about being mevatelit again? As soon as the goy lost it, and realizes that he lost it, presumably he would be mevatelit. It was a ring with a picture of a dragon on it. We just said a dragon is an image that they worship. And Rav Elazar HaKapper had to go to the trouble of finding a goy and getting him to be mevatelit and slapping him until he'd do it. Why? If it was lost, then the goy who lost it was already mevatel it, and that's that. The answer is, Omar Abaya nihi d'minomi yayish. Fine, okay, we're saying that whoever lost it has yush of ever getting it back. But there's two different kinds of yush. He has yush that he himself is ever going to get it back. But he doesn't have yirush, as in he doesn't consider it an object of worship anymore. Mi'isura mi'miyash, should we necessarily say that he is giving up on the isur component of it, the fact that it's still an avodah zarah? Or there's a different explanation also. We learned the other day, we learned the word isur without the vav, which means the of power, the fire, the malach or whatever that the goyim believes stands by in this particular statute. So he gives up on the ring itself, but he doesn't give up on that spiritual power that he believes is in that ring. Meimer Omer, the goy will think to himself like this: after all, this ring may still end up getting worshipped in the future as an avodah zarah.
So,
why? And therefore, he's not miyash on that part of it. He's going to figure to himself like this: If a goy finds this ring mitzvah balakla, okay, he may be a fellow goy like me who worships the dragon, and then he will continue worshiping it. Or even if he didn't worship a dragon until now, maybe he'll fall in love with this and start worshiping it. Who knows? And the goy will further think: if a Jew finds it, fine, he's not going to worship it. But since it's an expensive ring, he may sell it to a goy who will continue to worship it. So therefore, yes. But the point is, the goy who lost it gives up hope of himself ever getting it back, but he doesn't give up hope that it will continue to be worshipped. Therefore, he wasn't the vassal of the avodah zarah. He was miyayish it from the point of view of him ever getting it back, but not from the point of view of it being an avodah zarah. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar HaKafra has to arrange for the bittul of it. By the way, Tosfos points out, when we said before in the Mishnah that if you find, for example, an image of a hand or a foot, we said that it's osur. The point is, there we're not talking
base.
We said outside of base. But the point is that why didn't the Gemara ask the same thing over there, that if once the guy lost it, we should assume he was mevatelit? The difference is not necessarily there did you find it in a place with high traffic. Here, Rabbi Elazar HaKafra found it in the middle of the street, in the middle of a strati or plati of gdola. Therefore, there's more reason to think that the guy who dropped it was miyayish on it. And the answer is he's miyayish of getting it back, but he's not mevatelit yet. So he still figures eventually it has a chance of still being worshipped.
And therefore,
that's why Rabbi Elazar HaKafra had to arrange for the bittul of it. Okay. So now we're going to get into a topic, which the Gemara also had this next sugya, we have almost word for word also in Rosh Hashanah, because in connection with a Mishnah from Rosh Hashanah that we're going to bring. And we're going to discuss the question, what kind of images, so we mentioned in our Mishnah, images of the surah of the sun or the moon, which we said in the Mishnah doesn't mean the actual picture of the sun or the moon themselves. It means a picture representing them mythologically, like a king in a chariot or what have you, or a picture of a dragon. So we said you're not allowed to keep such kelim. We started discussing briefly the question of what kind of images are you allowed to make versus not make. So now we're going to get into more detail about that and try to figure out what kind of images of heavenly bodies and of other such things, and of people, are we allowed to make and are we not allowed to make? So, Tananhof, and we learn in a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Dmus Tzuris Levona Toilo Ram Gamliel Ba'ali Yosei, B'Tavlo B'Koisto, Ram Gamliel had images of the various phases of the moon on his second floor of his house, or his Medrash, whatever, on a tavla, on a tablet, B'Koisto, on the wall. Shabahen Mara Sahadyotis, he would use these pictures to show simple people who came to be to give Eidos on the new moon. Well, that's what we're gonna have to figure out later. Wait, but we're gonna discuss that. But the point is these were depictions of various phases of the moon, that this way he could use them to show the Hadyotis, simple people who come to give Eidos that they saw the new moon. They might not have the words to be able to describe that we saw it in this position, we saw it facing this way, and we saw this height and whatever. So he would show them the pictures. That's what we have to figure out. But Oymelahan and Rabbi Gamliel would say to them, Kazeri Isam or Kazeri Isam. What did it look like when you saw it? Which picture did it look like? And Rabbi Gamliel made, of course, the calculations in advance. He knew astronomically how it's supposed to look that particular month. And therefore, we could use that to cross-examine it. So now becomes the question, Mishari, are you allowed to have such pictures of the moon? We have a pasuk that says Lois Sasun Isi. We quoted this yesterday in the Gemara. Don't make with me, which one meaning of it is Lois Sasun Kinmus Hamoshe Hamashamshin Lafanai. Don't make images like the images of my servant, says Hashem, who served before me. Meaning Lachora, that means including the sun and the moon. So therefore you're not allowed to make
also all the stars.
That's what, yeah. Yes, So that's what we have to figure out. So then in that case, how is he allowed to have pictures of the moon? Abaya says, yes, but actually the posuk is loisas and iti, and the braisa over here just says that you're not allowed to make images of my servants who serve me. That doesn't necessarily mean the sun and the moon. That means the Torah is only answering the kind of thing used to serve Hashem that it's possible to make actual duplicates of them. In other words, things from the Beit HaMikdash, for example. So the sun and the moon, you can't make an actual sun in its full size or an actual moon in its full size. All you can do is make a small scale depiction of it. That Abaya is saying is not what the Torah is answering. The Torah is answering something that you could conceivably make a full scale replica of, namely things from the Mishkan or the Beit HaMikdash.
So what does it say, iti?
Iti means with me, means things that are used directly to serve me. Kedetanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, lo yasa odem bayis tavnes hechel, a person is not allowed to build a house in the image of the hechel, the same length, width, and height, and the entrances in the same place, etc., a replica of it. Achsadra tavnes ulam, or to build an achsadra in the shape of the ulam. The ulam was in the front of the Beit Mikdash. You had the entryway to the Beit Mikdash. It was open, or mostly open in the front, on the east side. Then it had walls to the north and south, and it had a doorway in the back that went into the Heichel. So in that sense, an achsadra is a structure that they had, like a porch that people had in front of those houses in those days that were built in a similar way. It's open on one side and closed in on three sides. So you're not allowed to make one like the one of the Heichel. Again, the same size and with the same placement of doors and whatever.
It's an
arch,
basically.
Not an arch. Well, like an entryway. Like an entryway into a house. They have it open on the front.
Right.
The top of it could be arched, and the Beit HaMikdash was actually flat on top or whatever. That's not the point. The point is, you had it, it was at a certain size. The height of it was 40 amos. The length of it was 11 amos. Whatever it was, exactly. You're not allowed to make a replica of that. Or achsadra, so that's achsadra tavnes olam, choter tavnes azara, or to make a courtyard in the same shape and the same dimensions and the same structure or whatever as the azara of the Beit HaMikdash.
Nothing to do with the sun or the moon.
Well, that's what Abaya is answering. Therefore, it's not a problem on Ramiel Mil. Shulchan tavnes shulchan, or to make a table the same as the table in the Beit HaMikdash, menorah tavnes menorah, or menorah like the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash. Aval, so now we're going to focus particularly on the menorah, what can you make? Aval hu oisa shal hei v'shal vav, v'shal ches, you're allowed to make a menorah of 5 or 6 or 8 branches, because that's not like the one in the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash had to have 7, no more, no less. But v'shal zayin mo yasa, but when it comes to making a 7-branch menorah, you're not allowed to make afilo shal shamine matkos, not even of other kinds of metal. Because even though the one in the Mishkan in the Beit HaMikdash was made out of gold, the fact is, the halacha is, you're allowed to make it out of other metals. The ideal way is to make it out of
7.
It has to have 7. There are certain details that are ma'akiv in the menorah. One of them is the fact that it has 7 branches.
Right.
But the metal that it's made out of is not ma'akiv. If all you have is silver, then you make it out of silver. If all you have is iron, as the Gemara is going to say in a minute, you make it out of iron. Which, by the way, if you make it out of other metals, you don't make it with the various ornaments that are mentioned in the Torah. You don't make it with the knobs and the flowers and the whatever. You only do that if it's made out of gold. But not you can't, but you're not obligated to. I don't know if you're allowed to. But whatever it is, the point is that the other metal, so to make it out of other metals, it would be kosher for use in the Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, you're not allowed to make a 7-branch menorah, because you're not allowed to retain. You're not allowed to make replicas of the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash.
So any metal, are we saying?
No, that's what we're saying. That's actually the Shol Shamanim Masas, even of any other kind of metal, yeah. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, my actual eighth boy, after Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda says you're not even allowed to make one out of wood, because we find that the Chashmonoim made one out of wood after the Yevonim stole all the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash, so they stole the golden menorah, and later on when the Chashmonoim reconquered them, they were poor at the time and they couldn't afford a gold menorah, so Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda says they made one out of wood. And we see, therefore, that a wooden one is kosher in the Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, you can't make one elsewhere. Amrullah, the Chacham answered him, Nisham Raya. And actually, the Gemara explains in Menachos that Rashi brings it over here. The underlying machloikas is that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda holds that a wooden menorah is, in fact, kosher in the Beit HaMikdash. Because he learns it in the Chacham. No, the Chacham holds it must be made out of some kind of metal.
Precious metal?
No, not precious metal. That's what we're going to say. But any metal. But with the Chacham learns from a klal, a prophet klal, it has to be made out of some kind of metal. It's called a prophet pala, to be similar to gold in that sense. That's a metal. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda learns from a ribui, mios ribui, that can be anything except for earthenware. So therefore, so that's part of the argument. He's saying, I can bring you a proof that wood is kosher, because we say the chasrinai made it out of wood. Well, by the same logic, if you're not allowed to make replicas of the kalim, then you're not allowed to make one out of wood. Amru lo nisham raya, so the chacham said, you bring the proof from there? That's not what happened. They didn't make it out of wood. Shudin shal barzel hayu. What they did is, the chasrinai, they made a menorah temporarily out of iron poles, the chayfin bevas, and then they plated it with tin. One reason is because they...
Traditionally, they know?
No, the Chacham knew, yeah. And as a matter of fact, actually, the Rid says, so how did it, what happened? Eventually, tin discolors, it eventually tarnishes,
right.
And then that gets, it becomes brownish, so it looks from a distance like wood. So the Chacham are saying, you, Rabbi Yosef, have you heard to think they made it out of wood? No, what it is somebody saw it after it had been used a couple of years, and it looked like wood from a distance, and they
right.
thought that it was, but really, it was plated with tin. Yeah. Why they plated it with tin, different before should talk about, because they didn't want to expose iron in the mikdash, or to make it look nice, or whatever, yeah. Anyway, the point is, Heshu, later on...
When,
it's a metal. It's an element of its own. It's an element of its own, yeah. Heshu, later on the Chashminoyim became richer, the Jewish people became richer. Asom Shalkesef, so then they were able to make a menorah out of silver. Then when they became even richer, Asom Shalzav, then they made a menorah properly out of gold the way it's supposed to be. What we see from that, the Chacham would say, it was always made out of some kind of metal. If all you have is iron and tin, then you make it out of iron and tin. But you can't. It has to be made out of some kind of metal. Therefore, if you were to make a seven-branch menorah out of wood, it wouldn't be a problem, say the Chacham. Okay. Anyway, so far, so good. But that means, therefore, that so far, Abaye is saying, then there's no source to say that he shouldn't be allowed to make a picture of the sun and the moon. Therefore, the Dremel meal is good. Okay, the problem is, are you telling me, though, that things that you're not allowed to make exact replicas of, such as the sun and the moon, you're allowed to make pictures or depiction or images of them? Vahatanya, but we learn in another braisa, or maybe even it's the same braisa, quoted in more full, loisasun isi, when the potikas don't make with me, means loisasun kin mus shamoshe amashamshin lafonai bamorim. Don't make images like the images of my servants that serve before me in the heavens. So in the heavens, Lachora means the sun and the moon. So what is Yom Gamliel doing?
Stars or anything else.
Yeah. Okay. Omra Baya, Sabaya answers, Loy Osra Torah Elabid Mus Dalad Ponim Bahadi Adot. Fine, but the Torah is only answering something if you make the four faces together, namely we have Yechezkel
yes.
describes in the Maaseh Merkava, he describes the Chayes HaKodesh, that they have the right, Pnei Ner, Pnei Sher, Pnei Nesher, Pnei Arya, and Pnei Adam. So if you were to make an image, if you were to make a picture that has all four of them together, that's what would be also, because that would be like the servants that serve Hashem up on high.
Does that
not
mean
the
exclusively?
What do you mean?
It could mean that, plus other things that are in heaven.
Okay, so I'll tell you actually. The Ram points out from Maharam Rutenberg, the fact is that the Gemara did not say Ella before the second answer of Abaye, and the Gemara is not going to say Ella before any of the answers. Ella would mean reject what we said before, set it aside, we'd have a new answer. Without Ella, it means we're still accepting what we said before. The Torah does ask you to make replicas of the Kalim of the Mikdash. A separate issue is an addition that is to make an image, is to make a depiction of the Chayes HaKodesh with the four faces, right? But so far, still not the sun and moon.
Right.
Okay. The question then becomes, Elamai Ata Parsif Adam Lechude Tishri. By that, actually, Tosfos already points that out, that the fact that it doesn't say Ella by each one means that we're not changing our mind. We're adding each one. Abaye is adding another detail. So you're not allowed to make replicas of the Kalim of the Bismikdash. You're also not allowed to make the Chayes HaKodesh. And also, we'll see soon what else you can't make. So that's the question. Elamai Ata, by that logic, parts of Adam Lechude Tishrei, by that logic then it should be mutter to make an image of a person of a person with his face by himself, because that's not the full Chayes HaKodesh consists
right.
of four faces. Alom Atanya, so why is it we learn in a braisa?
Well,
one of them is an Adam. One of them is an Adam. Yeah,
so
that's the question. If you're telling me you're only not allowed to make all four of them together, then that would imply you're allowed to make a person's face by itself. And yet we see, Alom Atanya, so why is it that we learn in a braisa? Kol ha-partzufis mutar in chutz mi-partzuf of Adam. All faces of people or faces of creatures or whatever you're allowed to make, except for the face of a person.
And the four others
No. Tosfos points out, if already Wa'asuin can make the face of a person, then what's the point of mentioning that you can't make all four of them together, if the four of them include the face of a person? So Tosfos gives a couple of answers. Tosfos over here gives a couple of answers. One of them is, let's say you found a depiction of a person's face already. Then you added the other three to it. So you haven't been over on the issue of making a depiction of a person, but now you added the other three faces to it, and now you created a new issue.
Right. So
you made the
height. We're adding
two different things. A, you're not allowed to make a face of a person. B, if you already found a face of a person, you're not allowed to add the other three to it as well. Also, Tosfos says maybe just it means that there's two different historians. If you were to make a picture of the Chayas HaKodesh, you would be over on two historians, one that you drew the Chayas HaKodesh and one that you drew that among them as a person. Elsewhere, Tosfos talks about another answer also, that just the opposite. Because the human being is the highest level of creation, And that's why the Goyim regularly made their statues in the form of human beings, you would think, okay, if you draw it together with the other three creatures on the Chayas HaKodesh, you would think maybe that's not an Isser. You would think it's maybe not an Isser. But that's not the kind of thing that is necessarily likely to be made into an idol. No, that's the point. It's still offered. Okay, so anyway, so the point is, okay, so again, back to the Gemara. So if we're saying that you're not allowed to draw a picture of a person, then why are we saying that you're not allowed to have all four together? Or if you're saying that only all four together that are also, why do we have also that a parasite bottom is also? Omer of Yehuda, Breder of Yeshua, or Munna Breder of Yeshua, Hagar Kabbah says, Mitpirkej Rabbi Yeshua Shneili, I heard the following answer in the shear of Rabbi Yeshua. When the Pasuk says, Lo Yisasun Iti, when the Pasuk says, don't make with me, which we said means Hashem's servant, we can also read the word Iti as Lo Yisasun Oisi. Don't make me. And as we said yesterday, Hashem is regularly described by the Nevi'im in the Tavyachol, like in the form of a human being, in particular in Yechezkel's vision, but also in other places, there's many places where Hashem is depicted Tavyachol as a human being. So therefore, and also a person is made in Selam Elokim. So therefore, when it says Lo Yisasun Iti, there's a separate issue in that pasuk. I'm making a depiction of a human being.
Most of a human being. To represent Hashem.
Not even to represent Hashem. Just the fact that a human being has that similarity to Hashem, to the point where Hashem can be depicted. To the point where Hashem can be depicted as a human being. And one, there's an interesting explanation also that one of the Mephoshim has, which is, who's saying this pasuk? Who's telling this pasuk to the Jewish people? Moshe, like most of the rest of the Torah. So when he says Lo Yisasun Iti, Moshe is speaking to them like in his own name. Don't make a depiction like me. I'm a human being. Don't make a depiction of a human being. Anyway, so far we have three isturim, none of them yet about the sun and the moon. We have not to make replicas of the Kelim of the Mikdash, the Chayas HaKodesh, all four faces together, and Parts of Adam. So far we still don't have those problems.
Three.
What? And the Kelim, right. Okay. So far, Avol Shar Shamosh and Shari. So far it sounds like anything else that serves Hashem, such as the sun and the moon, should indeed be mutter. Now the question becomes, Shar Shamosh and Mishori. So are you telling me that other servants of Hashem are allowed, you're allowed to make depictions of them? Well, Tanya, but we learn in another Braisa, or again, maybe the same Braisa in four, Loi Sasun Iti, means Loi Sasun can Mus Shamosh Amasham Sham the Fon Abamarim, don't make images of my servants who serve me in the heavens. And this Braisa continues with examples, Kegoin Eifanim Usrofim Mechayas HaKodesh HaMalachi HaShoresh. That it means, for example, the various classes of Malachi. So we see it's not just the Chayas HaKodesh, not just the four faces together. Any kind of Malach. Any kind of Malach. Amar Abaya, by the way, before we get to the answer, Tosfos points out before, don't Malachim, aren't Malachim usually depicted like human beings also? So if we're saying you're not allowed to make an image of a human being, then that automatically includes a Malach. So that's one answer, is that Malachim have wings, people don't. Also, Tosfos points out, the Gemara elsewhere talks about the Malachim, even when we depict them in human form, are still different. For example, as the Gemara mentions in Chagiga, Malachim don't have a back of the neck, in a sense, like they don't have to turn around. Even non-Chayas HaKodesh, they don't have four faces, they don't have a back of the neck, whatever that means. They don't have an oris, yeah. Whatever it means, exactly. But the point is, a regular depiction of a human being wouldn't necessarily be a depiction of a Malach.
All the pictures of the Goyim that show Malach.
The Goyim, the Goyim. They don't know what a Malach. I mean, they put them together based on what they understand from the Sukkim and a big dose of mythology mixed in.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anyway, so the question is, again, you're telling me from the previous Braisa that you're not allowed to make only the four faces of Chayas HaKodesh together, but from this new Braisa, we see that you're not allowed to make a depiction of any Malach. Amar Abayah. Abayah says, okay, fine, but still, lo osur Torah el shamoshim shemodir elyon. Fine, but still, so far, we only have the Torah is asking you to make images of these things that serve Hashem in the upper realms, meaning in the ruchnistic realms, meaning malachim of various kinds, still not the sun and the moon, which after all are physical, they're physical creatures. They're in Madhur Atachton, they're in the lower realms, they're closer to our world. So the question is, Shabbat Madhur Atachton.
Light years away, but
no, the sun and moon aren't light years away. But the point is that the point is we're not talking about in terms of distance from the earth. Madhur Atachton means they're actual, they're gashmiistic beings. I mean, okay, according to the way that Amram writes, for example, in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, the sun and moon are a higher level, and the stars and planets and whatnot are a higher level of existence in the sense like they have intelligence, they recognize Hashem, but still nowhere near the level of Malachim. Malachim and Madhur Elyon, they're in the higher world, Briya, Yetzirah, whatever. They're the sun and the moon. Of course, they're closer to our world. In Ruchnius, they're more in Asiya or whatever. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, Shem Madhur Atachton Mishori. So you're telling me then that you're allowed to make depictions of things that serve Hashem in the lower realms, for example, the sun and the moon. V'hatanya, but we learn in another brayta that when you have in the Aseret HaDibros, when it says Leitach L'Chopes V'Chol Tzmona Asher B'Shamay, is that the whole pasuk goes Leitach L'Chopes V'Chol Tzmona Asher B'Shamay Mimal? You shouldn't make any statue or any depiction of what's in the heavens above, Asher Ba'Oretz Mitachas, or what's in the earth below, Asher B'Mayim Mitachas La'Oretz, or what's in the water under the earth. So when it says B'Shamayim, now when it says B'Shamayim, why does it have to add the word Mimal? We know the heavens are above us. So, Asher B'Shamayim L'Rav Eschamo L'Vona Kechavim L'Vadolet. The word B'Shamayim means that you're not allowed to make depictions of the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planet. Mimal L'Rav Es Malachi Ashari. And when it adds the word Mimal, comes to teach us, you're also not allowed to make depictions of the Malachim. So here we have, for the first time, we have a Braita telling us you're not allowed to make depictions of the sun and the moon. So now we have the question, what is Rabbi Gamliel doing with his pictures of the moon? B'Shamayim means the heavens that are directly above us,
right.
Therefore the sun and the moon,
right.
And the stars and the planet. And Mimal means the spiritual worlds above us, where above that, where the Malachim are. That's why it says Vashamayim Mimal, otherwise it could have said just Vashamayim, and we know the Shamayim are above
us. So it means two things.
It means two different things, right, Vashamayim and Mimal.
And Mimal.
Right.
What if it doesn't say Umimal?
It doesn't have to. Where we have the extra word Mimal itself, means, yeah. Okay. So then, so now we have...
What are you saying?
Shmei Hashemayim also means like the heaven of heavens, right? It means the heavens above the heavens, meaning the higher Ruchniyistic world. Yeah.
Okay.
So then, so now we see there is an actual issue against depictions of the sun and the moon. The answer is Kitanya Hila Oda. Yes, but that last verse is talking about where you're making them in order to worship them. That ain't all to do, but just to make them like Gamliel did to have a picture is not necessary.
That's a chiddush.
Well, the question is Hila Oda, so the shul shall call Nami. If you're talking about to worship them, you're not to make any kind of image. You're not to make an image of a little worm if you're planning to worship it either. And the Gemara says, Eino Chanami. You're right. When we say for the Kronach, we learn that from that from the end of that same pasuk. This Titania, as we learn in a Braita, that when that pasuk continued, Asher Ba'ore, that you're not allowed to make a depiction of anything on the earth, means Rabbis Yamam Unahoret Horimogbois, means including you're not allowed to make depictions of the sea or the seas or the rivers or the mountains or the hills, if you're going to be worshiping, if you're making them for worship, and mitachat l'rabbis shil for cotton. And again, the word below, we know the earth is below us, so the word below comes to include even a tiny worm. So far, fine, based on all that, obviously now you're not also to make images of worms where they're not for worship. Obviously, it's only for worship. Well, by that same logic, only depictions of the sun and moon for worshiping them are awesome. That's the point. In other words, that pasuk, like Tassimah Chapetel, is referring to anything that a person is making to worship,
right.
Or for other people to worship.
So why the Torah distinguishes between Shemayim, Shemayim,
the Torah Shemayim. Wants to inform us. You're not allowed to make any kind of image for worship, not if it's in the highest heavens, not if it's the greatest malach, not if it's the lowest thing on earth, a little worm, nothing. Just like we said yesterday, a person shechts an animal having in mind that he's doing it in honor of a tiny worm, then it becomes also bahana. The same logic over here. The Torah wants to stress that you're not even allowed to make an image of a tiny worm in order to worship.
And conversely, if you don't plan to do Avodah Zarah with
it. On the face of it, it should be mutter. On the face of it, it should be mutter. Whether it's the sun and moon, or whether it's a worm, yeah. Yeah. Okay, then the question becomes, Basi, the greatest of Mishari. Still, are you telling me, though, that you're allowed to make images of the sun and the moon? Bahatanya.
Greatest
means by itself. Where you're making it, just the making it, you're not making it in order to worship. Mm-hmm. Is such a thing allowed? Bahatanya, but we learn in a Braita. Loi Sasun Iti. Yet another thing we learn from this Loi Sasun Iti is Loi Sasun Kimusham Moshe Amasham Shem Lefanei B'morim. Don't make images of my servants who serve before me in the heavens. Kigoyin, and this Braita spells out, not like the previous one that just said, for example, Malachim. It means Kigoyin Chamo Levonaka Kavim Malazolot. It means, for example, the sun, the moon, the planets, and the stars. So now you have a real problem. How is Rabbi Gamliel making? How does Rabbi Gamliel have his pictures of the moon? The answer is Shani Rabbi Gamliel Dachayim of the light. Yes, but the case of Rabbi Gamliel is different because other people made it. Other people, meaning Goyim, made it for him. So he himself didn't make it. That would have been an issue, but for him to keep it around, that's less of an issue. Now you have the question. No. We said yesterday. No. We gave the example yesterday. For example, we gave the example of your. We gave the example that just the other way. Sometimes it's the other way around. For example, we said you're allowed to draw a picture of a dragon, but if you find a keli with a picture of a dragon on it, it's also b'hana because the goy probably used it to worship. And we said vice versa. For example, we said that you're allowed to. We said all mazolos are mutter except for mazol chama and labana, meaning if you found them but not to make them. The point being, there was a big difference between making them and having them. So making them, yes, you wouldn't be allowed to make pictures of the sun and the moon, but to have them, where Rabbi Gamliel has them and Goyim made them, that would be mutter. Now, how is it? Tosfos discusses the question: how is he allowed to ask the Goyim to make them for him? So that's actually one answer that Mephoshim gives, that maybe it doesn't necessarily mean that he asked them to make it. Could mean that a goy made it and he bought it from him. Could be a goy made it for his own purposes, whatever. But Tosfos anyway gives a different answer that maybe it's different for the when it's used for a mitzvah over here. Maybe there's more of a leeway to ask a goy to do it in this case. So there's a difference. There's a difference between making it yourself versus having other people make it for you. Okay. The question is, what about, though, we know we have the case of Rabbi Yehuda, where somebody else had made a signet ring for him. So Goyim had made it for him. And Shmuel, his Rebbe, told Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, or big toothed one, as we talked about before, Snei Enei Dedein. Poke out the eyes or the shape of this one. So some of Foshim learn that what we're talking about over here is the ring, the signet ring, had on a picture of the sun or the moon. And Shmuel is telling him to alter the shape of it. It shouldn't be a full sun or moon or whatever. Other Mephoshim learned that it was actually a picture of a person's face, and therefore an image of a whole person or whatever. And Shmuel was telling him poke out one of its eyes or cut off its nose or whatever, otherwise disfigure it. So it's not a complete depiction. So we see therefore, even if somebody else makes it for you, there's a problem keeping it around. The answer is Hasan Bachos Meboilet. Yes, but in that case, it's a little different because there the situation was that the signet ring stuck out. The signet stuck out of the ring. It was in relief. It was carved in relief on the. Well, therefore, umishum chashta. Now the problem, therefore, is it's not such a problem that it's a avodah zarah per se, but the problem is there's chashad, there's suspicion that people may think that he worships it. Because the goyim are not going to worship flat images, for example, usually, or ones that are recessed below the surface, ones that are carved below the surface. They're only going to worship either ones that are carved in the round, like freestanding statues or whatever, or ones that stick out, like you have, you know, you see, for example, in museums these ancient Greek fragments from the Parthenon or whatever. Oh yeah, release. So that kind of, they stick out. That they'll worship. So now you have a problem with chashad. You have a problem that people are going to suspect that he worships it. The Tanya, in fact, we learn in the Braita, there's that distinction. Tabas shechos meboilet, if you have a ring where the signet sticks out, where it's carved in relief, also lanicha, you're not allowed to keep it around, or some of them, for sure, say you're not allowed to wear it. You can maybe keep it in private, so there's no chashad, but you're not allowed to wear it in public. However, you're allowed to stamp with it.
What do we do with coins? It's also
well. Hold on. Coins we'll get to soon. All right. You're allowed to stamp with it because when you stamp with such a thing, then it comes out recessed.
Right. Because you put it, you stamp it into wax or clay or whatever, and you get a recessed image. So that kind of thing is allowed. Chos mashakeya, if it's the other way around, if Cygnus itself is recessed, mutol hanicha, you're allowed to wear it because there's no suspicion that anybody's going to think that you worship it. But also lachdimbo, but you're not allowed to stamp with it because then you're making a relief image, right?
Embossed.
And embossed, right? So therefore, so in that case, that's why it was also for Rabbi Yehuda. But that's why it's also for Rabbi Yehuda, because it was in Ram Gamliel's case, presumably it was flat, and therefore or recessed, and therefore wouldn't be a problem. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara digresses a second before we get back to Ram Gamliel. The question is, why are we concerned about Hashad? Umi Chashin and Lachashta. Are you telling me that we're concerned about that people may suspect that he's using it for Avodah Zarah, and therefore Shmuel is telling him to destroy part of the image so that people don't think that? But we have the case of the Shof V'Yosef Shul in Nahada. The Shof V'Yosef, Rashi says, is the name of a neighborhood in Nahada, but also that the shul was named for it, but also Rashi says, Shof V'Yosef means it moved and it settled. When Yechonia, the next to last king of Yehuda, and the Talmud Chachamim, the Chorosh and the Masker, were taken into Golos 11 years before the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, they took some of the stones and some of the dirt of Yerushalayim along with them and built the shul of Shof V'Yosef in Nahada. And the Shechina rested there, so therefore it's called Nishof Kan V'Nisyashiv Kan, that the Shechina moved from there, from Yerushalayim, and settled there in this shul.
How do we know the Shechina's
over here it doesn't mention, but in other places the Gemara mentioned that in the Gilai, I think the Gemara mentioned that where do you find the Gilui of the Shechina in Babel? You find them in the Shof V'Yosef shul.
How do they know?
They knew that they're Avirayim. I don't know where the Gilui Shechina. They know. I mean, if you have a radio tuned to the right station, you get a signal. If you're a Tana and you're an Amorah that's tuned to the right roof, you stick a signal, then you get it. Okay. Anyway, so you have the Shof V'Yosef Shul in Nahada, the Oismi Be'Andarta, where at one point the Goyim set up over there, or forced the Yidden to put a statue of the king in there, the Havo Eili Be'Abur de Shmuel V'Levi, and yet the father of Shmuel and Levi would go into the shul, Umaslo B'Gabe, and they would daven in that shul, V'Loi Chai Shil Chashta. They're not concerned about Chashad, that people are going to think that they're going in there to worship the statue.
Why is that?
Because that's the question. If we're saying we're not worried about Chashad, then why is Shmuel worried about Rabbi Yehuda's ring and telling him that he has to damage the image? The answer is Rabim Shaini. The answer is it's different when you have many people together. We're not going to assume that a whole kahila of Jews is going to go and be worshipping Avodah Zarah in public. So therefore, we don't have to worry about the statue. But Rabbi Yehuda is a private person. People might be choshed that he's using it for worship, and therefore Shmuel tells him to damage the image. Okay. So the question is, Ram Gamliel the Yachid Hava. Okay, then we're back to the question. Ram Gamliel was an individual, so therefore shouldn't you have a problem of Chashad? Presumably at this point, the Gemara is apparently still assuming that Ram Gamliel's pictures are sticking out. They're not just painted. They're apparently, the Gemara is assuming that they were actual three-dimensional. One second. We'll talk about at the end of the sugya, we'll talk about what practical halachas come out of this whole discussion. So wait a minute. But certainly if we assume that they were in relief, or maybe even if they were flat, then apparently you have a problem of chashad based on what we just said. So we're back to the question, how is Ram Gamliel allowed to have such pictures? Even if Acherim made it for him, even if Goyim made it for him, it should be no different than Rabbi Yehuda's ring, and it should be also because of chashad.
Everybody knows Ram Gamliel.
Everybody knows Rabbi Yehuda too, but that's not the point. But the answer is, Kivin de Nasi Hu, since Ram Gamliel is a Nasi, Shchichi Rabim Gabe, you always have many people by his house. Therefore, chashad goes away. It's like a shul in that sense. It's as if not so much everybody knows, but the rabbim are always there. Therefore, again, we don't suspect that rabbim are going to tolerate a disorder like that. Whereas an individual person wearing a signet ring. The Ibari same as the Prokim Havoi. Another answer we could say is that Ram Gamliel's pictures of the moon were made out of pieces. He would put them together when he needs to cross-examine him. Afterwards, he would take them apart again. So therefore, there's no chashad. Because most of the time, they're staying unassembled. Only once a month would he assemble them and start interrogating the Adim. Also, that demonstrates it wasn't made for worship because he wouldn't make them like that. The Ibari Semali, Slamed Shani, yet another answer is, it's different when you're making them for purposes of learning, which in this case, Rabbi Gamliel is, because he's doing that learning Torah in this case, or in this case, to teach Torah in order to be able to course examine the Adim and then figure out. Yeah.
D'Tanya, just like we learn in a Braise, just like we learn in a Braise, which we learn in Sanhedrin when it comes to Kishuf, Lois Tilmadla. So it's the Pasuk says you're allowed to learn Kishuf in order to do it. Avalach Lamed Lahovin Lahodis, but you're allowed to learn it in order to understand it and in order to teach about it, in order to pass in halacha about that. That's the Sanhedrin, for example, has to be familiar with the different kinds of magic. So by the same logic, Rabbi Gamliel may not be allowed to have pictures of the moon if he's just having them for decoration in his house, but he would be allowed to have them in order to teach the dinim in this case. Now, so what are the practical dinim that come out of this whole discussion? So far what we have is as follows. You're not allowed to make you're not allowed to make replicas of the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. That issur is absolute as long as it's something. So most
even the Beis Hamikdash was in Shiloh.
Well, yeah, then you wouldn't have been allowed just to make replicas. Oh, yeah. But you have some of the Achronim who argue maybe this issur only applies in the Beis Hamikdash standing, maybe it doesn't apply after it's destroyed. Okay. The consensus of poskim is not like that though. Again, also most of the posts can say only if it's the exact size, but for example, you can make a scale model of this mikdash. So you have, I think Rabbi Yitzchak Zonnenfeld wanted to be machmir on it, but the consensus is not like that. You see all the time these scale models of the Beis Hamikdash, and then nobody has any problem with it. On the other hand, for example, with the menorah, let's say, the menorah had a certain size, it was 18 tefachim tall, it was a couple of parashiyos ago, Rashi gave the details. However, the Torah doesn't say in so many words that it has to be that tall. So therefore, to make a smaller or larger one would also be, out of seven branches, out of metal, would also be also...
close to the sign, not like...
No, even if it's... Even
5 inches.
The parashiyos, even if it's 5 inches, I don't know. Yeah, as long as it's seven branches and it's made out of metal, that would be an issue, yeah. The next thing we had is you're not allowed to have the four faces of the Chayas HaKodesh together. So there you have the machlokas between the poskim, between the Noitzer Kelim and Shulchan Aruch, whether that applies only if they're in relief or freestanding, or does it apply even if they're flat or even if they're recessed. Now you have different opinions about that.
What about if you have an eight branch menorah, we use Hanukkah, and you take one off.
I don't know about that. That's a good question. Because now it has seven branches, but originally it had eight. Good question. I don't know. All right. So you're not allowed to make the four panim together. And again, whether that means davka if they're in relief or even flat or recessed, that's machlokas. Mm-hmm. Now we have the interesting part comes about pouts of Adam. This is what we're saying. Not allowed to make an image of a person. What are the dinim of that? So there also you have a vast amount of machlokas about among the Rishonim and Achronim about the exact parameters of that. Most of them say that it's only also if it's in relief. It would not be also according to most of them if it's flat or if it's recessed. Some of the posts give my machmir on flat ones also. However, they say even though Tosfos discusses over here that Tosfos on the previous Amud says that it would be allowed if it's only a profile, if it's only a side view, and it's painted. Then it's not only that. I mean, the fact of the matter is we do see that we have that people do paint people have many times painted pictures of. Yes, sculpting is more of a problem, and halakha is three-dimensional. We're talking about over here with two-dimensional. So if it's two-dimensional, even if it's a full face and body, first of all, pretty much all the posts can say that only if it's a face and body together is it an issue. If it's a face by itself or a body by itself, most of them say it wouldn't be an issue, even if it was 3D. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so questions that, so bust might not necessarily be a problem, right? Mm-hmm. But at any rate, if it's flat, then there's even less of a problem. They talk about, for example, photography. You had some Zoli Israel who were particular and wouldn't allow themselves to be photographed or painted. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden, for example, mentioned about his father, the Chacham Tzvi, that when he was in London, they wanted to paint a picture of him and he refused. But the fact is, we know we have paintings of our Rebbeim that they were pictures, photos of our Rebbeim that they sat for, whatever. So the photos is less photos. So the post my friend him say photos is less of an issue because you're not actually drawing it. You're taking the picture and it gets developed with the camera. So it's less of a problem with light fashion.
Say you take a picture.
No, but it's not the same thing as actually drawing it. So drawing it would be more of an issue, but even then we see that the fact is we see that there are various we see that there exist paintings of the Rebbe, even full body paintings. So
what about three dimensional holograms and things like that?
A hologram is not really three dimensional, only looks three dimensional, so that's not necessarily the same thing. I don't know if that would necessarily be the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then the last so you have those different opinions about it, but yeah. And then you have, as far as the sun and the moon, there it's a little more complicated because the sun and the moon
don't, even though, of course, the actual sun and moon and planets and whatnot are round, they're three-dimensional, to our eyes, they don't look that way. To our eyes, when we look at them in the sky, they look 2D. They look flat.
Right.
Therefore, most of the poskims say that, in fact, you're not allowed to, no, you're not allowed to make even 2D pictures of them. So they, so if it's Islamic, if it's to learn, then we just learned that we said at the end of here, that would be allowed. So, for example, they talk about, for example, you're teaching kids about Maisa Bereishis, and you draw a picture of the sun and the moon and the stars, that might be okay. Or like when they're teaching about the story of Yosef and the 11 stars or whatever, some of them talk about also maybe the way kids draw is not really considered a depiction of the
scientific
picture. Maybe that would be considered Islamic, but not necessarily, because Islamic may only be to learn Torah. So again, photos, maybe there's more of a reason to be made, because you're not actually drawing the picture, but to actually draw a picture of the sun and the moon is actually pretty questionable in halacha. Yeah.
So when you put it in part of a whole landscape, what has that?
What do you mean when you put it as part of all?
You draw the sun.
You're still drawing the sun. It's still be the same problem. So you see sometimes actually in our schools many times if they have the kids draw a nature scene or whatever, they'll have them draw like a quarter sun in the corner of there, and that way there's for sure no problem. Okay. You're not drawing a whole thing.
Not a sun, even if it's like within a frame, a picture,
yeah,
or something like that.
It wouldn't be a difference. Yeah. They also talk about some of the post-Machronim talk about the whole question of dolls. Are they mutter or not? One answer is that there's less issue of fashad nowadays because nobody worships such things. We mentioned yesterday the concept that nowadays when nobody worships such things, maybe some of these Yisroelim don't apply anymore, but not necessarily. You still have some of the post-Machronim want to say. Yesterday we talked about it because we started talking about this question of what kind of images you allowed and not allowed to make. We started that discussion, and then we continued.
But when we said that if it's not done today...
So that's what we gave an example. For example, we said about the Mishnah had mentioned that you find... We said, for example, you find a Kali with a picture of the sun or of the sun's mazel or the moon's mazel or a dragon on it, that it's also bar mitzvah. That doesn't necessarily apply nowadays because they don't worship such things. So that's as far as dolls. There's a good deal of discussion among the poskim about all these kinds of things. But those are at least some of the issues that come into play in all this. Okay. Fine. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah of Shimon Gamliel, and the quarter of Shimon Gamliel said, if you find a keli with a mazel of the sun or the moon or a dragon on it, not necessarily is it also b'hanah. Hello. It depends what kind of keli it is. We said he made a distinction between the chobodin and mevuzin, between honorable and dishonorable kelim.
Right.
So, Ezohein Mechobodin ve'Ezohein Mevuzin. So what's the definition? What are considered honorable versus dishonorable? Amarav, Mechobodin means L'mayla Menamayim. I mentioned this yesterday from the Yerushalmi. It's actually here in the Bible. So, Mechobodin would mean if you have the depiction... No. Mechobodin would mean that it's L'mayla Menamayim, that you have, it's above the surface of the water in the keli. So, in other words, you have, let's say, for example, a cup. Where the picture of the dragon or what have you is near the top of the cup, the part that's not usually covered by water, so that would be considered mechobazin. On the inside or the outside? Yeah, on the inside. Yeah. Mevuzin lamakim and No. But Pashas would mean if it was on the inside. Rashi says al oignei akeli on the lip of the keli. So maybe Rashi means whether it's on the inside or the outside. Yeah. Mevuzin would mean lamakim and amayim. Mevuzin would be under the water, for example, on the bottom or on the sides of it or whatever. So that would be considered that's mevuzin. They didn't put it there to worship. They just put it there for decoration. Shmuel says, no, either way, that would be the definition of mevuzin. Whether it's under or above. Ela Elohim mechobodin, rather the definition of mechobodin, is shalashirin valanazom and valatabois, is if you find the depiction of the dragon or whatever is on bracelet or ring or nose rings or finger rings, which are honorable kind of kalim, then any kind of ornament, right. And there's different gear stories over here. Instead of shirin, it's shiroyin, meaning like silk clothes, in other words, as opposed to plain clothes. Tanya Chava said to Shmuel, we learn a braisa like what Shmuel says. Mechobodin means shalashirin valanazom valatabois. Mechobodin would mean if you find them on bracelets or ring or nose rings or finger rings, or according to the other girsa, which the Rambam gives, also on silk clothes and things like that. Mevuzin, where it's dishonorable, would be shalayodis. You find it on a pot, valakumkumasin, or on a samovar, valamachami
mayim or on a teapot, that would be allowed. Val shalos v'shalos dinin v'alam mitpachos, or you find it on sheets or on handkerchiefs. Such things would be mutter because they didn't put it there for worship. Tosfos brings a gears over here, not mitpachos but masdeya coins. So therefore, coins that have avodazara images, therefore, would be mutter according to this, so they're mavuzin. They're not considered an honorable thing. And the Ritva adds, even if you were to argue that coins maybe are considered an honorable thing, even if you don't accept that gears of Tosfos, nevertheless, again, we're back to they don't worship the images on the coins nowadays. They worship crosses, fine, but they don't worship the actual. Yeah, so like they don't worship the actual. Even if it's gold, the point is the Ritva says they don't worship the actual image on the coin. Therefore, it's mutter.
I'm going to get some people walking off the wall.